Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of June, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, and hear the reaction of Colin Peterson, the leading chair of the Ag Committee in the House of Representatives. He knows what to blame for the failure of the passage of the Farm Bill, but doesn't mention, if he does, who to blame. And it all comes up during this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago as they settled up on this Friday afternoon. Futures finished 11.5 cents lower in the corn pit for the July contract at $6.61¾. September at $5.92, down 6¼. In December, $5.56¼, 4¼ lower. The March contract of next year, 4 cents lower at $5.67. And July corn, $5.79¾ in 2014, the summer of that is, down 4¾. July soft red winter wheat at $6.98 in Chicago, 2.5 cents. Lower. July hard red at $7.36½ in Kansas City, down a half cent. July soybean futures were 4¼ lower at $14.93¼ at the end of this day on the settlement price for Friday afternoon. August at $14.13¾, down 7. September soybeans $13.15¾, 9¾ lower. In November at $12.73½, down 11½ cents. January contract $12.73¼. And the January soybeans are rather $12.76½, down 12 cents. It was the March that was 73¼. They were down 10½. Bean meal futures at $4.47.70, up 2¢. And bean oil at $48.02. That's down 38 cents. Live cattle futures in the June contract at $1.21 were a buck and a nickel higher. Feeder cattle in the August at $146.80, up 2¾¢. And the lean hogs in the July contract today at $99.82½ were down 42½ cents on the afternoon. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming throughout the day, not long after we air it on our radio stations. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the afternoon trading the August at $93.87 a barrel, down $1.27. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $2.76¼. That's 2½ cents lower. Ethanol trading $2.46¼, up 0.8 cents. And the difference or the spread between the two is narrowing in 3¾ cents at this hour at $29.07. New York Harbor ultra low sulfur diesel at $2.84¼ is down 2¾ cents. And gold futures for the day up $5.80 at $1,291.70 an ounce. The U.S. dollar trading 0.4 higher at 82.31. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. It's 90 degrees outside, by the way, at the moment, but the National Weather Service is calling for sunny skies this afternoon. 92 for the high, partly cloudy this evening, and 71. And then tomorrow, isolated showers, a few thunderstorms. Those should come before 1 o'clock. Mostly sunny and a high of 92 degrees on a south-southwest wind at 9 to 14. Tomorrow evening, partly cloudy and a low of 71. Mostly sunny on Sunday with a high near 92 and partly cloudy on Sunday evening and 71 degrees. Mostly sunny with a high of 90 on Monday. Monday night, 72 degrees on the low, partly cloudy. Tuesday, sunny and 91. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 73. And on Wednesday of next week, mostly sunny skies and a high near 91 degrees. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. More information about Strategic Farm Marketing is available at sfarmmarketing.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is a Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the latest report from the United States Department of Agriculture. Deals with livestock, cattle, and feed just came out. What did you see?
Mostly negative. The on-feed numbers a little bit above the average at 97%, placed in May 98% on the very top end of the trade estimates, marketed in May, also a little bit disappointing at the very low end of the range of 97. Placements look like they might be drought-related because versus April, Texas placements up 31%, Oklahoma up 53%, Kansas up 23%, Colorado up 21%. So inflated placement numbers, maybe due to drought, is what I'm thinking.
And in, when you look at the cattle futures, do you see any of that in the numbers that we're trading this week, too?
Possibly. I think they did see some short covering on Friday. You probably had some unwinding of long hog short cattle spread trading on Friday. That boosted the August feeders above its 40-day moving average for the first time in several months. One of the best closes on the week after a really tough week start. August feeders able to get up to levels not seen for a couple months, getting closer and closer to that 150 level. It may be a toppy part of the range here with this placement number. We'll have to see on Monday.
Live cattle, kind of the same thing in the August contract. They rallied higher, but they're up just on the top end of their channel that's still moving lower.
We can't seem to establish cash trade at this point. I think the trade's still wondering whether we're going to see a lot more pork consumed and poultry consumed here domestically at the expense of higher-priced beef. And so until we see the cash market start to move in sync with those record retail prices, I think the cattle will probably continue to follow the hogs for the most part.
When you look over at the grains and oilseed side, which was the most interesting of contracts to watch? And you might even talk a bit about the July options expiration.
Yeah, I would say probably the corn. You know, it was just Monday that Dees corn hit a three-week low of around 5.25, and within 3 days was able to rally 50 cents, get up to its six-month trading range resistance, and, you know, mostly on the heels of a strong wheat turnaround. And it goes back to historically, Todd, it seems as though if wheat wants to get a bottom in place, that needs to happen before the corn really wants to get a bottom in place. Not sure if this is a long-term bottom in the wheat. I would feel a lot better a week from today if we would still be above the 200-week moving average and still see July KC wheat well above 735 and maybe even above 750. It's going to be next week that we're going to get a lot more of Kansas wheat yield reports in, and obviously we'll have the grain stocks report behind us. So those are the two biggest issues, I think, probably that could frustrate the wheat bull or frustrate the analyst that thinks the wheat's got to get a bottom in place here.
I think one of the things that I see that is most interesting, I've already figured the weekly changes for Commodity Week, which you're a guest on this week, by the way. Looking forward to talking to you about 4:30 this afternoon Central Time. In the corn, nearby July for the week gained 6.75, but December corn gained 23.25, and that's just really odd.
Yeah, and this is where I think it's real important going into the grain stocks report. The producer out there really watches the cash basis and watches the July D spread as we get ready to hand the baton from July over to September. We'll get the grain stocks report, and then we'll see July go into delivery at the Chicago Board of Trade Mercantile Exchange. That's going to be a big issue. And this week what we saw midweek was the futures rally came in with the wheat leading, July corn led initially, but then all of a sudden the basis started to widen. There were some reports today of more farmer-related selling at the end of the week here, especially in the western corn belt. It was noted that maybe a little bit more farmer-related selling in corn, not so much in beans. And I think that maybe helped along with some of the technicals and some of the levels we hit in the July Dees corn spread, brought in a reversal of that spread. Wouldn't put too much on it right now, but again, next week at this time, if we're talking about widening basis, a lack of interest by the end user and not a bull spread mindset in the trade like we've seen the last 4 or 5 months, that's when I'd be more nervous about the 2012 crop.
No, you made me go back and take it. You mean 2014 crop.
Well, no, I'm talking about anybody that's holding old crop corn now.
Yeah. Well, actually, I gave you the wrong year, too. Neither of us got to 2013, did we?
No, we didn't want that at all.
Yeah, there you go. So you made me go look at the September real quick. It posted an outside up week.
Exactly. And this is where you're still talking about basis levels that are 60 cents higher than July, even with the widening basis late in the week. And so that puts a terrific potential premium in the September. And I think we would all agree at this point that there's going to be very little new early crop corn out there, especially first half of September at this stage of the game. So this is where the September really becomes a key.
Yeah, and it just looks like an old crop month, right?
At this point, because of the delayed plantings, I think we could categorize it at that point, and especially given the basis. And, you know, speaking of the spreads, this is one of those rare weeks where we saw the Dease corn finish higher, November beans finish lower almost by an identical amount on the flat price. This, again, I think was spread unwinding with the wheat coming in and finally showing some teeth to it. Then finally the corn could bottom, and I think the long bean, short wheat, long bean, short corn traders wanted to go ahead and back out of those spread trades to some degree.
Okay, so if it's just unwinding of spreads, and most analysts have been of the idea that beans are the stronger of the two commodities, corn and soybeans, that is, would you expect to see beans come back next week, or are they going to trade sideways?
If the July leads, yes, but I would say on the acreage number, the beans have the most to lose from that report. The beans have the most to lose from ideal weather at this stage, and I think they have the most to lose from the outside markets and how they're associated more with the equities and the S&P. And I think they have the most to lose from if the wheat low would hold, we could see continued spread unwinding. Doesn't mean it's a bearish scenario when it comes to the old crop, but the new crop has to be supported by the old crop. And you have the same structure in July beans and August beans that you have in the July corn and the September corn. So here again, next week when we get those stocks numbers, you'd want to see that August contract really come on board, the August meal really come on board, and see the basis start to narrow and tighten and improve so that it would give an indication to the futures guys that this old crop still is in control.
You mentioned outside markets, but really it was outside influences this week that had a lot to do with what was happening in Chicago at the CME Group. Can you recap what you think Bernanke said and what it means to the marketplace?
I think what Bernanke didn't say was that he had a clear and well-thought-out path out of quantitative easing. I think the trade has seen a weaker China economy coming, a weaker European economy continue, and now a weaker emerging market economy start to develop. But they always, I think, went back to the idea, that's okay, the U.S. economy is healing, and the Federal Reserve has a map and has a game plan on how to wean us off the punch bowl of quantitative easing. I think after these last two press conferences, Todd, that confidence is starting to erode pretty quickly, and that you can tell in the bond market. I think the bond market and the bond yields, the 10-year yield went to 2.5%. That's the highest that I can go back and find since August of 2011. I think the higher the bond yield goes and the lower the bond market goes, the lower the confidence is that the Fed will be able to get us out of the quantitative easing without a lot of structural worry and a lot of dismantling or disruption of the financial markets. And I think we saw that in his press conference again this week.
Yeah, so is it just lack of detail of how it will happen?
I do, and I got the sense because, I mean, there was one point in that press conference where he said, look, we'll come back in. If we see things start to weaken, we'll help the financial markets. We'll come back in. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, you're telling us you'll do anything you have to, and that's usually not a confidence builder when you're telling someone in the financial markets that, well, just wait. If things get worse, we'll come back in and step in and do something for you. But they want slow and steady. They want a solid, I think, bias that the plan has been mapped out. They have a game plan. and they're going a certain direction, and they know where they're headed. And I don't think he gave that impression again for a second month.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay. Talk to you Commodity Week, sir.
You bet. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. Mike will be one of our panelists for Commodity Week, along with Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson. We'll record that at 4:30 this afternoon. Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa, is our guest this week. We'll have that posted up to our website at about 6 o'clock this evening. We had some technical difficulties with the website last night, so if you were looking for the Closing Market Report yesterday, it didn't show up for a while, but it finally got there earlier this morning, and I think we've got those all fixed, so you should be able to find Commodity Week easily enough at willag.org. A couple of other things about next week. On Monday, I will not be here. Dave will be back, and he'll host the Closing Market Report along with his programming in the morning slots. I will instead be in Bloomington Normal at the Illinois Tax School's Farm Family Legacy Estate Planning and Succession event. That is a $50 bill, and you can still walk in. So it starts about 8 o'clock in the morning, I think, there at the Marriott. If you want to come, that's fine. Registration, I believe, opens at 7:30. It's $50 to walk in. You could still go to the website and pre-register still if you want. And you look for Illinois Tax School in Google. And then over on the left-hand side of the page, look for that Farm Family Legacy event. I think it's called Protecting the Family Farm Legacy. And we'd like to have you there on Monday, Wednesday of next week. We'd like to have you here on campus if you're interested in weed science in particular and what's happening in your fields and all the kinds of herbicide and control possibilities there are. Aaron Hager will be hosting the annual Weed Science Day on that day, Wednesday morning of next week. You can find more out about it on the Illinois Pest Management Bulletin website, and the address there is ipm.bulletin.illinois.edu. Just search Google for the bulletin, Illinois.edu, and you'll find it in all the kinds of things that are happening on the South Farms. That's next Wednesday for the annual Weed Science event with Aaron Hager.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency. Is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In today's agricultural news, we'll start in Washington, D.C., with the failure of the House of Representatives to pass the farm bill yesterday. The chairman of the Ag Committee, Mr. Lucas from Oklahoma, says it's a disappointment, but that the $40 billion in deficit reduction, elimination of the direct payments, and the first reform of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program since 1996 are important, and that they must be continued to be pursued. Lucas says all options are being assessed, and he has no doubt that the work on the farm bill can be completed and that farmers and ranchers and rural constituents can get the certainty they need. Committee ranking member Colin Peterson did not express that same optimism. He says he cautioned his colleagues that Republicans and Democrats would have to work together to pass a farm bill, but says the House adopted a partisan amendment process, playing political games with extreme policies that have no chance of becoming law. Peterson says he'll continue to do everything he can to get a farm bill passed, but he has a hard time seeing where they can go from here. From the House, we'll go to the Senate Ag Committee, where members there, including Chair Debbie Stabenow and Ranking Member Thad Cochran, are raising questions regarding government oversight of the proposed purchase of Smithfield Foods and future foreign acquisitions of American agriculture companies. The senators are urging Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew to include USDA and the Food and Drug Administration in the review of the proposed purchase of Smithfield, so the oversight process includes experts on the American food supply and food safety. The proposed acquisition of Shangwei International will undergo a national security review by the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States. And finally today, one more story from Washington, D.C. A Wyoming senator has introduced legislation to repeal the Renewable Fuels Standard. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen says the proposed legislation may serve the oil and gas industries in Wyoming but is bad for consumers, bad for the environment, and bad for America. Dineen says the RFS has proven its worth time and time again. He notes it creates jobs, reduces America's dependence on foreign oil, and lowers the price of gasoline. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Learnert Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnert Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnert Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. Amy Sage of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County joins us to look at the cash grain markets, how things have been working through the week since we talked on Monday. Oop. Well, Amy should be with us, but I don't see exactly why she's not there. We'll check and try to get her online in a moment. Hey, Amy, are you with me? Nope, I thought she was there. That's all right. I guess we'll try to figure that out in just a bit. We'll call Amy back and see if we can't get her back on the line in just a moment. In the mean space, don't forget to register online for the Monday event in Bloomington, Illinois. That's for the succession planning and estate planning event. You can find that at the Tax School. That's at the Tax School online. Just search for Illinois Tax School. One more time. Amy Sage from the Andersons is here to look at the cash grain market. Hi, Amy.
Hello. Sorry about that.
Well, you know, it happens. That's why we call it live radio. So what was the week like this week? Did farmers move much corn?
You know, we did see quite a bit of old corn gets let go on the rally there. I think people are still keeping some gambling stocks through the summer months, which, you know, obviously has paid out the past few years here. But did see a little bit of new crop selling after the close of the market on Wednesday after we had the rally there. But since then, not too much on the sell-off.
I suppose in your office you probably said, about time on that one, huh?
Yeah, we really don't have much of a book on for new crop sales compared to what we usually do at this point in time. So it's nice to see some a little bit get let go on these rallies. We like to see that.
And what's basis like in the area?
Basis for old crop has been steady, has been firm on corn. Beans, not as much. We're looking at an inverse from the July to August. So demand has been pretty good, but I think it's just the nerves between the July-August spread that have kept it from really exploding. Inco Brazek Gilman has obviously been the biggest market for us here recently, but everybody's got to protect their risk going into an 80-cent inverse as well.
And what is your bid for the day?
Yep, 703 cash corn, 543 fall corn, 1524 cash beans, 1256 fall beans.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on a Friday afternoon. Back in just a couple minutes, we'll look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Learnert Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnert Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnert Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Peaches and Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1834, Cyrus McCormick received a patent for the first practical mechanical reaper. He originally demonstrated the machine in 1831 at a public trial in a field near Walnut Grove, Virginia. The field's owner called a halt to the demonstration, fearing the machine would rattle off the heads of his wheat. The demonstration then moved to a nearby field where it cut 6.5 acres of wheat in just half a day. In 1862, Charles Ellet Jr. died. An American engineer, he built the first wire cable suspension bridge in America. In 1893, the first Ferris wheel opened at the Columbian Exposition in Chicago. Invented by George Washington Ferris, it had 36 cars and carried 60 passengers 264 feet high. Its 45-foot axle was the largest single piece of forged steel at the time in the world. In 1898, Donald Peaty was born, an American botanist, naturalist, and author. He started his career in USDA's Office of Foreign Seed and Plant Introduction. In 1916, Joseph Bamford was born, an English inventor and industrialist. He is credited with the widespread application of hydraulic technology in construction and agricultural equipment. And in 1933, a barge loaded with grain arrived in New Orleans to complete the first Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico barge trip. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Friday afternoon. Mike Tenor of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago is on the phone line. A changing forecast, I'm told, Mike, for the Midwest and other parts. What does it look like now?
Well, it's one of the more complex forecasts of the year so far, but this is what happens in June, July, and August when you're in the height of corn and soybean growing season. Essentially what's happening is we have a large area of heat that's developing out in the plains from Nebraska and southward. This is expanding to the north, which is going to warm things up even more than where we have been over the last few days. We'll see a large portion of the corn and soybean belt reaching the mid-80s to mid-90s with hundreds at times from Nebraska and south. So a much warmer forecast is coming up, and this occurs through about the middle of next week, say around Thursday. But at the same time that we have this heat taking place, we also have multiple waves of energy that ride right along the northern edge of heat. This is called the Ring of Fire weather pattern. And in the Ring of Fire pattern, you get multiple rounds of thunderstorms almost every day and night affecting different areas. The most concentrated area for thunderstorms will be across the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and over toward Michigan. This is where above-average rainfall of at least 1 to 2 inches is expected over the next week. As you head further to the south, rain chances diminish, but it's a real tricky forecast. It's hard to say exactly where the southern edge of heavy rain will exist. We think at T-Storm Weather that it's most likely to settle somewhere close to Interstate 80, maybe a little south from there, which will lead to near-average rainfall over the next week from that area and north. Areas to the south, including central Illinois and further to the south, have lower rain chances. But rain chances are net zero. We could see 1 or 2 thunderstorm clusters in the region, including some of the areas that are now drying out in central and southern Illinois. So this is something to watch closely. It turns much cooler for at least several days, starting up around Thursday, Friday next week. So we know all that, and that's kind of where it is right now. The cooler portion of the forecast late in the period is a bit of a change from a few days ago when it was unclear whether we would stay hot or turn cool, but it's pretty apparent that a cooler pattern will develop for at least a little bit.
It is good news then that if we have the Ring of Fire that it doesn't stick around and we have a blocking ridge or something like that, because we do have cool weather coming after that, right?
Yeah, we do for at least several days. I mean, next weekend looks like it will be pretty nice with highs mostly in the 80s, maybe even the 70s in a few areas, so it's not going to be hot next weekend. After that, there will be a large ridge, which is where heat centers. But that is most likely to center right on top of the Rocky Mountains, not on the Corn Belt like we had last summer. This is a key forecast issue, but at this point, you know, history and the overall pattern that we've been in suggests that thing should stay off to the west.
Mike, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mike Tenor is with T-Storm Weather. He is in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday edition. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.